Education institutions have expressed a strong dislike of the House version of the GOP tax bill. Now healthcare institutions and not-for-profits are also stressing about it. One of those affected in a big way is Westminster Village, the 501c3 retirement community in Bloomington. GLT's Ryan Denham has more.
Barb Nathan is the CEO of Westminster Village. The House tax bill includes a provision buried in the middle of several hundred pages that would eliminate a class of tax-exempt bonds that not-for-profits commonly use for capital projects, improvement plans, and so on. Westminster is in the middle of a $33 million expansion and renovation. Barb, how much would that provision cost you in extra interest and taxes?
Well, if we had not been able to secure tax-exempt financing for this phase, it would have cost us an additional $5 million in interest over the 10 years of the loan. The bill as it stands today, the wording in it today, says that tax-exempt financing for 501c3 organizations would go away as of January 1st, 2018. In addition, it says that if you're in tax-exempt financing currently, but you haven't drawn all the funds, if you don't draw those funds by January 1st, 2018, they will lose their tax-exempt status after January 1st. So a place like Westminster, who's in the midst of a very large construction project, we've drawn about $10 million of our $30 million in financing currently. You don't want to draw it before you need it, because then you would have to pay interest on it. Well, we're now working with attorneys and bond counsel to determine at one point in the next 30 days, we're going to have to make a decision to draw all those funds. Because out of the chance that this stays in the bill, we could lose the tax-exempt status on $20 million, which would cost us an additional $3.4 million in interest. So it's very scary for the future, but it's also very scary for the here and now, for people that are currently in construction projects like Westminster is.
And tell me about this construction project. I think folks may be aware that you're expanding, but just catch us up.
We are. We are blessed as an organization to be able to take this on as an expansion project. We've been around about 40 years, and a lot of conservative leadership has allowed this to happen. But we are currently adding on to our skilled care. We, of course, are a continuing care retirement community. So in our skilled care, we're adding a two-story building and changing the model that we have from semi-private rooms to private rooms in small neighborhoods to give better person-centered care. We're also moving the entrance of Westminster, the main entrance, to Mercer Avenue, and enlarging all of our common spaces right now. This is actually the first phase of a three-phase project. So the loss of tax-exempt financing for future phases will put the size of those projects, as well as the projects themselves, in jeopardy. But we're moving the entrance, so in the next phase, we can build an assisted living building, including memory care, and then add to our independent living.
If the House GOP tax bill passed as is, I mean, who knows if that'll happen? These things are moving very quickly. The Senate bill does not have this provision in it. But say it were to go through, you said it would be $3.4 million hit for you over the remaining $20 million?
Over the remaining $20 million, and we'll do everything we can to avoid that, which means that before December 31st, and of course, this hasn't even happened yet, so say that we find out on December 15th that this is going to be in the bill, we have to be ready, because we have to take that $20 million today, put it into a project fund, and begin to pay interest on it. Even that would preserve our tax-exempt status of that, but that would cost us about $340,000 in additional interest.
So that's the best case scenario.
So that's the best. I know. It's kind of strange to say $340,000 is good news, but we, like lots of nonprofits who are in this situation, are getting ready just in case. And if we don't know if it's going to be in or not, we're still going to have to take the money so that we can avoid that potential $3.4 million of additional interest cost over the next 10 years. The Senate bill, you're right, it doesn't include this. I think there's a lot of House representatives that are actually saying, please don't include this. But as we all know, these bills end up having so many different pieces and so many moving parts that it's hard to keep track of everything that's in there. So a number of professional organizations, those representing senior living, universities, hospitals, other nonprofits, are all being very active in talking to the legislators to say, this needs to stay out of these bills.
What's it like for someone like you who is so vested in one of these provisions in a bill that has hundreds of provisions? It is very hard to keep track of how fast this legislation is moving, and there are two versions of it, right?
We actually are a member of Leading Age, which is a large association of senior living providers, really across the continuum. So your low-income housing all the way through your continuing care retirement communities, nursing homes, et cetera, and all not-for-profits. And so they keep us well-informed. They have actually banded together with about 20 agencies that serve seniors, because another way that this tax-exempt financing is used is for low-income housing for seniors. And so they've banded with a number of associations, knowing that there can be great power in that type of collaboration, so to reach out the legislators. I've also reached out, been going to the American Hospital Association site, university sites, et cetera, to try and get the latest news on these. We get alerts almost daily. Our bond council also, for the financing we currently have, sends us updates. You know, it's as if we weren't all busy enough. And about, well, it's less than a month ago, we first heard about this. And it's amazing how many hours in a day is now consumed by this. But we're talking about it a lot. We're talking with our board. We're talking with our residents. This is a concern. You know, where is this money going to come from? You know, there's not investors that are giving money to nonprofits and flowing money in. It comes through the operations, and then any that's left at the end of the day goes back into operations. Certainly, you can't put this on the back of residents, et cetera. There's a limit to what can be paid. So the question then you have to look at, okay, what else do we need to scale back? And oftentimes that comes in services in the nonprofits or in reduced number of persons being served in the case of those for lower income, et cetera. So it's a big concern across the board. And again, I'm speaking about senior living. Part of my career was in healthcare. Much of my career was in healthcare. And when I was at the Community Cancer Center, absolutely, it was tax-exempt financing that allowed both the creation of the Community Cancer Center and the expansion. So can you imagine if that had not been there for that organization, the difference that it would have made in terms of the number of people that could be served?
That's an important point. Yeah, this is not something that would just affect Westminster Village on this one project. This is potentially every not-for-profit looking to finance a significant project moving forward.
Mm-hmm. And it was really a surprise to us because of that. I mean, to our knowledge and to our association's knowledge, this has never been talked about before. And so it is a surprise, and yet it has rallied a whole number of people in a whole number of areas to be very aggressive in talking with people. I find that it's actually been a surprise to some of the legislators as well in terms of it. And it doesn't make sense even in terms of the administration's aims that this is about public-private partnership, and we want to stimulate growth. You know, on Westminster's campus right now, there's up to 200 people working on these projects. That's good for our economy. So it's hard to understand, but it is our reality right now. So we're trying to address it and protect Westminster, as well as advocate for removing it or not including it in any tax bill.
Have you done anything to raise these concerns directly with our members of the House? We have Darren LaHood and Rodney Davis in our Bloomington Normal community. Or is that something that you just kind of allow your associations, your trade groups to handle on your behalf?
No, we absolutely do that because that's important. That is who represents us. And in the case of Westminster, that's Rodney Davis. And so I had a discussion with him before the House bill even passed, as did our board members. And I believe a number of our residents have been reaching out. And I know from my conversation with him, he heard from a number of different places. And so it is important we do that advocacy. One of the things our associations do for us is give us very easy ways for residents and patients and others to reach out to them. And so we can easily circulate those emails, et cetera.
What would be your thoughts on a version of this provision that was maybe a delayed rollout so that it didn't impact projects and financing that was already in motion? Like, it seems strange that this affects a project like yours that is like, you know, it's phased out, but, you know, it's already in motion, right? Mm-hmm.
They could do a version that only affected projects in the future, but we would be adamantly opposed to that as well. As I say, we're in the first phase of an expansion project for Westminster. You know, OSF St. Joseph's just announced an expansion project that I'm sure they haven't gone for financing yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, the impact, again, the impact for $30 million in financing, the increased costs in interest would be $5 million over 10 years. Nonprofits can't afford that. You're going to scale something back or not invest for the future. And there needs to be a balance between the nonprofit world and the for-profit world. You know, we serve this whole community better because of that. But without that opportunity to have that investor money coming in, and also we don't lose money to the investor world, it's really important for us as to fulfill our missions to be able to continue to have this source of funding for capital projects.
That's Barb Nathan, CEO of Westminster Village in Bloomington. I'm Ryan Denham.
Westminster Village is located in Congressman Rodney Davis's district. He didn't respond to a request for comment on his position on the tax-exempt financing provision of the GOP tax bill. You're listening to Sound Ideas.
Let me tell you how it will be. There's one for you, 19 for me.